Logo, Tubi Originals. Text, The Asylum presents.
T-minus 15, 14, 13. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 1 for main engine start.
Text, 1984, the United States dominates the exploration of space. A space shuttle takes off from a launch pad as watching crowds cheer. In orbit around Earth, astronauts float and work inside the shuttle. Green shuttle schematics are overlaid on a black background. Back in the shuttle, the crew works out on exercise machines. Liquids, food, and a long slinky float with the crew. An astronaut opens a panel on a sidewall as he holds himself in place via a handle on the ceiling. The shuttle comes in to land on a long landing strip with its wheels extending. Scientists work on equipment in labs. A man sits in a gravity emulator as it spins. Another man jogs in a suit equipped with sensors. Hands and gloves work with items inside a clean box. Text, top secret Soviet lab, somewhere near Moscow, USSR. Snow covers the ground of the Stark facility. Men and women pass a security checkpoint to enter a building. A scientist in a lab coat listens to the radio with a bucket in his arm. Subtitles, last piece. Who wants one? He tosses raw meat into a pool. His co-worker makes him drop the bucket, damaging equipment. Damn it, Alyosha, that's not funny. Calm down, Sergey. You're too young to be uptight. Yeah. How are our pupils doing? If you were to believe these numbers, they surpass all our expectations. Anything that I throw at them over the barrier, they devour immediately. They can easily solve basic problems. They learned phonetic and Russian language. Are they talking right now? Russian appears on a computer screen. What is that? Subtitles. I'm glad they are behind this electric fence. I don't understand. Everything all right? Yeah, everything's okay. Give me 1 second. The metal bucket flies out of the tank. They broke through the electric barrier. We must get out of here.
Go!
Heavily muscled hammerhead shark men climb out of the pool. They have rigid fins on the backs of their forearms and necks. The scientist pushes a red button. Subtitles, warning, breach in the facility. Activating full lockdown. They got out. Run, faster. One shark man catches a fleeing scientist and punches him in half. His innards leak out. Subtitles, run, faster. Faster. Shark men chase the scientists as more climb out of the tank below the walkways. The scientists burst out, surprising a door guard, and race away from the building. Subtitles, they've escaped. The shark men lumber outside and kill multiple guards.
We can't let these monsters escape! Once they get into the ocean, it's over, they'll be unstoppable! The only way through, oh, good!
They pull open a gate.
Whatever he does, go, can be fixed!
The woman takes off her heels and swings them at a great white shark man. He dodges and devours her from the head down. Another shark jumps down and attacks a guard. The shark men march out from the facility and climb over a fence to chase the two remaining scientists.
They're coming!
The scientists lead them across a bridge into a space shuttle. They climb into the cockpit and close the hatch. They pound on the hatch.
Nearly there!
Sergey!
I think I got it! I can't overload it, but can launch it! 1 minute, start it now! I need more time!
I'll give you more time.
No, Alyosha, come back!
Alyosha climbs down from the cockpit into the shuttle. He aims a flare gun at a shark man. Subtitles, for the motherland. fires, and a beam of blue light races down the shuttle's length. The shark men watch it pass, then turn back to Alyosha. Alyosha takes a cigarette out of his pocket. In the cockpit, Sergei sees blood splatter against the hatch. His face crumples. Subtitles, launch sequence initiated. 10. Sergei pushes buttons on the control panel. Subtitles, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Lift off. The shark men fall as the shuttle tilts vertically and takes off. Using their claws, the shark men climb up the floor of the shuttle towards the cockpit at the top. The shuttle launches slowly into the air, attached to the rocket blasters. Title: Shark Side of the Moon. Text: Cape Canaveral, Florida, present day.
Check main boosters, propellant diagnostics are green. Gyro navigation systems are online. Orbital stabilization thrusters purged and ready.
This is Tabula Rasa to Mission Control. Final walkthrough complete. All systems running at 100%.
We have confirmed go for launch at all parties.
T-minus 9 minutes and counting.
Roger that, Mission Control. Engineer Gilmore, what's the status?
Green across the board, Commander, I think I shouldn't have had those tacos.
Told you not to trust that food truck.
I think it's something else.
I'll just do a couple of tests.
He scans her forehead with a thermometer and presses her side.
I'm just gonna touch here.
Ah!
Got a possible appendicitis.
No.
Captain.
She's
not clear to fly.
Mission Control, Engineer Gilmore has fallen ill and needs medical attention. We need to delay the launch.
No can do, Commander.
Delaying the launch would set us back 6 months.
That's going to be a huge setback that we
can't handle. We will alert the alternate. He's standing by.
Shit.
A man rides a motorcycle down a two-lane highway. A crowd waits, observing the launch pad. A pair of feet in black shoes walk slowly into the building.
Commander Tress, alternate astronaut is en route.
A gate unlocks and opens.
Tabula rasa, start auxiliary
power units and activate APUs.
APUs on. Felt like this day would never come. We are finally going to the moon.
The astronauts grin in their seats.
As long as the alternate shows up.
A hand pushes a button and an elevator rises.
Arming solid rocket booster, sequence ready.
Arm and safe devices a go.
The alternate should be joining you in a minute.
SRBs and devices clear.
I know none of us are happy about it, but he's the best at what he does. Maybe even better than Gilmore. We can't delay this mission another 6 months.
They turn as a man in black leather enters.
Howdy, boss. Prepped and ready to go to the moon.
I hear the commute is killer.
They roll their eyes.
Michael, for the last time, I'm not your boss, I'm your commander.
Roger that, Commander.
Begin aerosurface profile test.
Michael pushes buttons.
Aero profile surface test activated, Commander Reno.
She side eyes him.
Mission Control, profile test complete.
Copy. Proceed with main engine gimbal profile test.
Retract the gaseous vent arm.
Michael, please take this seriously. This mission is far too important to humanity, got it?
You don't have to worry about me, Commander. I'm here to work.
Commander, power status.
She checks a row of buttons.
Power's running at 100%, no alarms.
Transferring command module power from ground to internal. Activating launch pad
sound suppression system.
Activating main engine burnoff in T-minus 10.
Copy.
Guidance is internal.
We will begin ground launch sequencer for auto sequence start. We are still go.
T-minus 27 seconds and counting, Commander.
Roger that, Mission Control. Everyone ready to go to the moon?
They all take deep breaths and smile.
Oh, shoot.
What is it, Michael?
I think I left my stove on.
She closes her eyes and shakes her head.
Remind me to not leave you alone in the galley.
Luckily, NASA has ensured the ship is mitigated against all excessive heat forms. Just so long as we don't land in the Compton-Belkovich volcanic complex on the far side, we should be safe, even from Liam's cooking.
10, 9, 8, 7.
Starting main engine.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Godspeed.
Tabula rasa.
Roger that, mission control.
Ignition. Liftoff.
The rocket burns brightly and smoke billows behind it as it launches the shuttle off a diagonal launch pad into the sky. The crowd applauds. The shuttle soars up through the clouds. Inside the cockpit, the astronauts sit tight for the shaky ride. The commander gazes out the viewport.
There's the thermosphere.
They pass through ever-thinning clouds and continue upwards.
The exosphere.
The blue sky turns to black space outside of the viewport as the ship continues straight up. Once in space, it arcs to the side.
Mission control to Tabula Rasa. That is a successful launch. I repeat, a successful launch.
Woo!
Current navigation track to the moon appears clear and artificial gravity magnification is complete.
Roger that, Mission Control. Tom, confirm navigation settings.
Navigation settings confirmed. ETA to the moon, 68 hours, 42 minutes, and 15 seconds.
That tracks with our settings. Signing off for now, but we'll continue to monitor. Congratulations, Tabula Rasa.
Nice work, everyone. Now the real work begins.
Gravity normalizers engaged.
All right. I'll be in the galley to make a popcorn if anybody needs something.
What? Come on.
The ship soars towards the moon, thrusters burning at its aft. The commander enters a laboratory.
How's it looking? Everything still on schedule?
Sure. Just trying to make a renewable source of energy that will support generations of thousands of people living on the moon. No big deal.
If anyone can make this field work, it's you. You led the team that discovered, what, 1,000 new uses for algae? What's one more, right?
Thanks, Commander. That means a lot.
The commander picks up a ball covered with bright green algae as the scientist works.
You know, my dad keeps saying if we're successful, they'll have towns on the moon named after us soon enough. Think about it. Atom City. Tressburg.
Don't go looking for condos just yet.
Go for Commander Trace.
Go for Tress.
Commander, we have a bit of electromagnetic disturbance.
Probably due to the Van Allen radiation belt.
It's nothing out of the ordinary, but...
What does that mean?
We've been on a bit of a run,
but we should be fine. But we'll have to adjust our landing by a degree. But we should still be able to land in the West Crater.
Keep an eye on it. Let LA and Mission Control know right away. Henry and Michael as well.
Copy. We're having trouble reaching out to Mission Control due to the interference,
but I'll keep trying.
Roger that. I'm about to go on my sleep ship, but don't
hesitate to wake me the second anything changes.
Are we okay, Commander?
Be ready for anything. I'm gonna get some shut-eye. I suggest you do the same. It'll be all hands once we make our approach.
Sounds good, Commander.
The scientist looks down nervously, then shakes herself and leans back over her microscope. The ship approaches the moon, passing a satellite hanging in space.
Twichow satellite sighted.
Navigation holding steady?
Yes, current descent is only 46 feet from our initial site.
Final run through at 100% confirmed by Michael, Henry, and...
Yours truly.
Come in, Commander Tress. We are ready to initiate orbital lunar descent.
Confirmed. Tabula Rasa crew, report to command module for initial orbital lunar descent in T-minus 5 minutes and counting.
The ship suddenly veers to the side.
Go back! Go back!
Everyone, get your asses up here now!
Commander Tress and a crewmate jog through a corridor with flickering lights.
Status report.
Commander.
We are reading that you are veering off course by 24.2 degrees.
Please advise.
The ship spirals off course as it nears the moon.
We're not getting back on course.
Mission Control, we had some interference from the Van Allen buoy. Course corrected. There's no way it's causing this much interference.
Copy tabula rasa. We see just the...
Hello? Hello, Mission Control, do you copy?
The ship falls towards the moon.
Mission Control, I repeat, do you copy? We lost them. Henry, Michael, we need a diagnostic of the electrical components of the nav system.
On it.
Copy, boss.
The commander pushes a series of buttons.
The hardware's fried. The system's completely overloaded.
Something's scrambling the computer to continually reset.
My electromagnetic readings are off the charts. Interference shouldn't increase exponentially like this.
The ship goes into a barrel roll.
I'm not getting control. We need to do something now.
Restart the ship.
What?
We should regain emergency control. Oxygen and gravity are on separate systems, so those should hold.
Captain, that's insane.
But, Commander, we have no time. We'll be propelled to the far side in T-minus 95 seconds.
It's either this or we crash and explode. Restart the ship.
Michael swipes levers and pushes buttons on the control panel at his station. The monitors display lines of text, and then he restarts the ship. All lights and engines go off as it continues to spiral towards the moon. In the cockpit, the control panels light back up. Michael leans over Henry's shoulder and watches his monitor. On the exterior of the ship, lights flicker back on.
She's holding.
She's holding.
They check the displays.
Wait, navigation's not course correcting.
60 seconds till we're flung to the far side.
We need to manually maneuver the ship. Michael, can you slow us down by adjusting the rocket boosters?
I can keep us flying long enough to not go kaboom.
We'll be flung to the far side of the moon before then.
If that happens, we need to get as close as possible to the Von Karman crater. We can use parts for the Chang 4 lander and U-2 rover to fix the ship. Michael, Henry, adjust the rocket. Slow us down.
On it.
When we land, we can use the Trachow relay satellite to make contact. That's the only thing on the far side that can reach Earth.
Assuming we land in one piece.
Michael and Henry work in the engine room.
Okay, hold on.
Michael types into a control panel.
Anything?
It's not working.
The ship spins and arcs around the moon towards the dark side. It crashes into the satellite.
That was the satellite. We won't be able to contact Mission Control.
That won't matter if we don't survive this landing.
Michael, Henry, the rockets.
Nothing yet, Commander.
Keep her as steady as possible.
Roger that, Commander.
The commander runs back to the engine room as the ship spins.
It's not working. We have to do it manually.
Henry turns a valve wheel at a red panel. Rockets fire and level off the ship. It crosses to the dark side of the moon and comes in low over the terrain.
Anything?
It's working.
Commander! Commander, trust! Pull up! Life for the Chang 4!
Bring perfect!
Pushes Michael and Henry down as the ship touches down and skids over the rocky surface, blasting through a piece of equipment there. The crew shake around and one man hits his face on a panel before the ship skids to a stop.
Michael, Henry, are you okay?
Michael gets up and checks a control panel.
All good, Commander.
Michael hesitates, then types more. All monitors read system locked, against a red background. Michael tries a tablet, then turns to the commander.
We're locked out of the systems.
The commander looks around the engine room.
We need to figure out a way to get back to Earth. Now.
The ship's back bay opens and a ramp folds down.
Status report. Is anyone hurt?
Negative, Commander. We're all good here. System says no hull breaches either.
But that Chang'e 4 rover was our best chance to communicate with Mission Control.
It doesn't matter. Satellite is gone. And the only thing on the far side of the moon that could communicate with Earth, we destroyed.
I'll never see my dad again.
You won't see anyone again.
Mission Control knows we crashed on the far side. If they don't hear from us in the next few hours, the best they can try to do anytime soon will be to figure out a way to communicate.
But that could take days or longer. Especially without the Twitchow satellite.
We're all alive. We need to assess and see what's available and for how long. We'll probably have to get back on our own.
Of course.
Tom, Henry, status report.
Yeah, we've lost most of our power.
Owen, please tell me life support is still functional.
Okay. We should be okay on oxygen. We have enough in reserves to last 6 months.
Our food sources are supposed to mimic that as well.
We're equipped to grow vegetation, so we should get some fresh food if we're here for a while.
So long as there aren't any hull breaches and no one opens any doors or windows, we should be able to maintain a moderate temperature inside the modules for months.
And if there aren't any leaks, we'll be fine. I'll do a walkthrough, then a moonwalk to ensure there's no external damage.
See? We're all safe. How far away are we from the U-2-2 rover?
Rough estimate, about a mile. Is there any way to contact Mission Control from the U-2-2?
No. The only way to reach Earth from the far side was through the Tracheo relay satellite.
Which we destroyed.
Exactly. So, Michael, Henry, you're coming with me to retrieve whatever components we can from the U-2-2 rover. Use it to get Tabula Rasa up and running, at least to the near side so we can make contact.
I'm coming too. The U-2-2 houses several spectrometers. I could pull a whole one or scavenge it for parts.
No, if it's operational, we'll drive it back here. You can get what you need from it then.
And what if it's not? Then we'll be missing out on potentially life-saving tech.
Fine. Ellie, I need the rest of you to take stock of all the damage you can find. Make sure all supplies and experiments are still operational, and if possible, chart a course back home. We'll need every bit of oxygen, water, and sustenance accounted for. We could be here for a while.
We're on it, Commander.
And Josie, make sure the life support module is fully operational. If that breaks, we have no chance of going back.
Copy, Commander.
All right, team. Let's suit up.
The ship sits on the gray, rocky terrain of the moon. Four suited members of the crew exit the back bay.
All right. So at least a 20-minute hike. Everyone keep an eye on your vitals.
Copy that, Commander. Copy that, Commander.
Follow me.
She takes the lead and they walk slowly in the low gravity, wearing gray suits with black helmets and clear visors. Inside the algae laboratory, one of the crew slaps the table as the laptops all display static.
Stupid things.
In one screen, there is a shadowy figure just visible through the static. Ellie walks in.
Do you see that?
See what?
I don't know, it looked Cyrillic. Russian, maybe. Russian? That's odd.
If anything, we probably picked up some Chinese characters from the U-2-2.
No, it for sure wasn't that. Let me see if I can get it pulled back up.
We have more important things to do. Come on, can we finish this walkthrough?
Fine.
She turns away from the laptops. The four of them inventory items in the lab. Outside, the four crew approach a rover sitting on the surface.
Well, Liam, it appears to be working.
Aren't you glad I came, Commander?
Okay, let's take what we need and head back. The less of our oxygen reserves we use out here, the better.
Jackpot!
He leans over the rover, then touches his face panel.
Oh, shoot.
What is it, Liam?
Bloody nose. I hit my face pretty bad during the crash.
Liam, have Owen check you out the second we get back.
Something tunnels through the moon towards them, throwing up rocks.
Captain, I think you should see this.
They all stare at the phenomenon. It splits into two, both tunneling under the surface and throwing up rocks and dust as they go.
A volcanic reaction?
Unlikely. Nothing under the moon should cause ripples like that. The moon has magma, but no active volcanoes. Even if it were under a magma chamber, there's no way.
Tracks?
From what? A giant moon snake?
The rover?
No. Tire tread doesn't match.
As one of the tunnelers gets closer, a shark fin becomes visible.
Back to the ship! Leave the rover!
The four crew turn and run slowly in the low gravity. A shark man bursts from the ground.
Where are those?
Sharks? He bites the shoulder of one of the crew. Blood spurts out through the suit. The remaining three run, a shark man with no spacesuit chasing them across the moon's surface. It steps on what appears to be a landmine and engulfs in flame. The three crew turn back and observe the charred body of the shark man. They gather and gaze down at the corpse.
Why are there sharks
on the moon.
Look, it's not moving. I think someone must have set a trap.
Okay, but who set the trap?
The shark man jerks back to life. A javelin impales the shark man through his chest. A little ways away stand a man and teenage girl wearing all black with no spacesuits. The other shark man flees, subtitles, and don't come back. The man gestures and kicks at the shark man. He and the girl high five. They walk over to the three astronauts.
How are they breathing?
I think they just spoke Russian?
Okay, first there are giant sharks, now there are Russians?
You think they're friendly?
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
They slowly back away as the man and girl come and retrieve the javelin. They stare in awe as he holds up the bloody javelin, the metallic tip resembling a giant shark tooth.
Americans.
He spreads out his arms.
Welcome to the moon.
The girl stabs the prone shark man again and blood floats into space. The astronauts stare in shock. The Russian man tilts his head. An oxygen tube feeds into his nose.
For the record, this was not in the brochure.
I didn't think it would be the Americans who will lead my risky operation, but how do they say beggars can be choosers?
Rescue mission? Who are you?
You weren't sent here to rescue me. After 40 years on the moon, I assumed somebody would want to bring me back. Who are you, Matt?
He grimaces and kicks at the dirt.
Papa, we're going to get you back home. Don't give up hope.
What is the point? I'm an old man. I'm literally watched the world pass me by more times than I can remember. Maybe it's the time to assume, actually to accept, that no one has got me.
Don't say that.
Yes, she's right. We're more than happy to bring you back with us, both of you. We just need to fix our ship first.
See, Papa? We're going home.
The girl grins happily. She does not have an oxygen tube. She walks over to Henry and peers through his visor. The others notice a fin-shaped protrusion on her back under her shirt.
What is up with her back?
Michael, stop. They just saved us.
Michael reaches out a hand towards her back and she jerks away with a stern frown.
I'm sorry.
Okay, let me officially introduce ourselves. My name is Sergey and this is Akula.
She glares at Michael with her jaw clenched.
And she's my daughter. Adopted daughter.
I'm sorry.
No problem. But hey, if you ever will try to touch my daughter again, I will make the arrangement to send you back home in a plastic bag, you understood?
Michael looks away and Sergey raises his eyebrows.
Look, I'm sorry about my crewmate. We can take you back to Earth with us. But first, we need to know who you really are and what you're doing here.
It's no time for it. The hybrids can return any moment. I have a rover just over the sledge. Let's go.
Good. I can guide you back to my ship.
I assure it's a good idea to have them bring us to their ship. We may be followed, and their ship is our best bet to get off this stupid rock.
Sergey purses his lips in thought.
Good. Looking forward.
Okay, change of the plans. Now we go to our base and gather our supplies. And when it's safe, we return to your ship and figure out how we can get back to Earth.
Last I checked, I was the commander here. I need to get back to my ship.
Well, we either all go to my ship and wipe them off your trail, or we go separate ways. They will follow you, find you, kill you and every member of your crew. Does it still sound like a good idea to you?
Fine. Lead the way. For now.
Sergey waves at them and stalks off. They follow, glancing at Akula. She waits until they all go, then brings up the rear. They get into Sergey's rover.
Quickly, get on. They're not far. Oh, sorry, it's a tight fit. I wasn't expecting guests.
Okay, come on, guys. Make some room. Come on.
A shark man grabs him before he can get in and pulls him into a fishing.
Hurry! Hurry! Drive! We have to save him!
What are you waiting for? Let's go!
Slave will lead us into a trap.
If they were going to kill him, they would have done so.
They're not going to kill him. What are they doing?
They're taking him hostage.
I have to warn my crew.
No, you don't.
Get off me! I have to warn my crew! I'm not going to let them die!
You don't want them to die, then do not talk to them over the radio. Electromagnetic waves will lead sharks straight to your ship and to your crew. They won't get a chance.
The commander looks around at them all.
We have to save Henry. I'm not losing another member of my crew.
And we will. But going in there now, unprepared, with what you're wearing, is a suicide mission. We will get supplies at our base.
The commander glances down at her suit, then back at the fissure as Sergei begins to drive away. In the fissure, lava rivers run through a small town.
Where's my helmet? How can I breathe down here?
The buildings are circular and gray, like the moon's surface. Henry is pushed into a stone cell. A shark woman with a bra approaches him. Subtitles. What are we going to do with him, Your Highness? We need their ship. It's big. That's why we brought it down. And now that it's without power and an electromagnetic signal, we can't find it. Big enough for all of us and the eggs? Enough for all of the eggs and a small crew. We'll come back for the rest. Henry looks back as they close him into the cell. A tall, skinny shark woman strides away.
Hey! Let me out of here!
I'm Zarina Sella. I'm sure you have questions.
Another shark woman remains.
So do I.
Henry backs into the corner. On the moon surface, Sergei's rover approaches the Russian shuttle, crashed on the edge of a ravine. They enter the shuttle.
Quickly! No time to lose!
It is dimly lit with hazy mist floating around.
Welcome to Lambok.
Sergei gestures them further inside.
It'll take your body a minute to adjust to the oxygen feeling the ship from my algae crawl. You can take off your mask then.
They enter a room lit with red lights. Nets line grow tanks on the sides of the shuttle. Sergei tosses a clump of algae into a jar and takes a seat.
So now, you can talk.
The commander sits across from him and removes her helmet visor. Sergei unhooks his oxygen tube.
I got one question. How are you still alive?
Okay, I have some serious questions. Why doesn't she need a suit? Or oxygen?
I knew there was something fishy about her.
He was right. I'm one of them. Created to survive in all conditions.
She unzips her suit to reveal gills on her chest. Michael opens his visor.
And this day just keeps getting weirder and weirder.
Scouting an abandoned camp for supplies. I came across her. She was absolutely healthy. Hungry, but healthy.
He saved my life. Raised me as his own and taught me everything he knows. I grew up listening to his homeland's music and reading the books of his people.
The ship has a fine audio system. Thank God for Tchaikovsky.
Swan Lake was the only thing that could put me to sleep as a child. Have you heard of it?
Yes, we've heard of Swan Lake. It's a classic back on Earth.
But I'm actually a rock and roll guy.
You know, but I was not able to put my hands on it. I even saw Elton in Moscow in...
Wait, you saw Elton John?
Yeah, this thing was the best one, man.
Can we get back on topic, please?
Michael nods and Sergei's smile fades.
Okay. As much as her music test, Akula became better than me in many respects. She even made some devices I wasn't able to survive without. So speaking of... Here. Upgraded suits.
A thin black garment.
They were my prototype, but they still works.
They block body heat and electromagnetic frequencies, rendering us invisible to them.
While keeping your own body heat to protect you from the frigid moon's temperatures.
They also utilize an infrared communicator which converts sound to be undetectable.
And the oxygen?
Same like hybrids, I convert my own. So they able to have it by consume algae they harvest, and I able to extract it from the containers I grow them in. So that's why my ship is full of oxygen. And I put some in my back, you know, in my suit.
Like a makeshift oxygen tank.
Yes.
Impressive. But why are there hybrid sharks on the moon in the first place?
Well, I was a very young scientist, but always dreamed to become a cosmonaut. The great geek on the sky, I always told myself. But to have a better and straight goal from the government, we have to declare the moon Soviet property. You will just left your footprint on it, and we were going to build cities. So our government created these sharks, these hybrids, to become a Cold War weapons against the United States. So my colleague and I lured them on the rocket to make sure they wouldn't invade Earth.
But you're the only one here? What happened to the other guy?
He sacrificed himself so that I could live.
Sergei averts his eyes.
Sergei, I'm so sorry. How did you manage to survive so long?
Well, the ship was filled with experiments. I was able to grow my own food, collect evaporated water from plants, and algae helped me to survive.
We found water, drilled underground. It's not very good, but we survived.
Look, I hate to break up this Q&A, but a man is being tortured by giant shark people.
Michael's right. Every second we're here is a second we're not sitting Henry.
Sergei sighs deeply and Akula nods.
Where did they take him?
The hybrids developed a settlement inside the largest crater in the area. He's likely being held there.
We need to get there now. Henry's our mechanic. We can't repair the ship without him.
Let's boogie.
The sharks are probably off our trail by now.
Michael and the commander hang back.
We need to try and communicate with the ship. We need to warn the crew at all costs. They need to avoid using anything electromagnetic.
I think you're right.
Don't let them see me.
Hey! You saw Elton John? Man, I've been trying
to never got a chance to. Ellie, if you can hear this, do not respond. I repeat, do not respond. The ship is in danger of being attacked.
The crew sits in the cockpit.
Any luck restoring electricity to the ship?
Not yet.
Come in, Commander? Commander Tress. Nicole!
A shark man walking on the surface of the moon suddenly looks to the side and roars.
What was that?
I don't know.
What could be taking them so long?
It sounded like she was in trouble. We have to go out after them.
What? No. We were given explicit orders to remain on the ship.
Nicole put me in charge. They should have been back by now. They're not responding. What if they're hurt? I need you to grab your medical gear and come with me.
But...
No buts! Josie, Tom, continue running diagnostics. Owen? We have a crew to find.
In the underground shark people settlement, the Tsarina beats Henry in his cell.
I swear, I don't know where the ship is. The crash took us so far off course that I
just want your ship. You and your crew can have everything we leave behind. Build your little colony in peace. We are going home.
Home?
Yes, the mother planet to us both, Earth.
Wait. You're from Earth?
She nods and steps forward.
Yes, I will rule there as I rule here. Now tell me, where is your ship?
No, I can't tell you.
That's a shame. Scar?
A well-muscled shark woman steps forward. Henry scrabbles back, but she grabs his leg and bites off his foot. Blood pours from his severed leg. Scar grins, her lips bloodied. She presses a golden hot iron to his leg stump to cauterize the wound.
Now tell us, or die.
Okay, but you have to promise me. Promise me you won't hurt my crew.
On my honor as Zarina, ruler of the hybrid sharks.
She holds up a map of the moon's surface and Henry points to a spot.
Scar, prepare the guards. We're taking the ship.
Henry clutches his leg. Inside Sergei's space shuttle, Michael puts on the same thin black garment as Sergei and Akula.
Hey, Alf and John can see me now, right?
Yeah, you're a rocket man now.
Sergei hands him one of their javelins.
What are these made of?
Sharpened moonstone. The only thing sharp enough to pierce the shark's hides.
This stone is more crystal in structure, and it's held sharp edge for an extremely long time.
You two really have thought of everything, haven't you?
When the alternative is death, you do what you can.
He hands a javelin to the commander, who also wears the black suit. She hefts it and they file out. Sergei drives over the moon's rocky surface and pulls to a stop.
Okay, from now we better go for out on foot. We don't want to let them know we're coming. Akula, lead the way.
She nods and gets out of the rover.
It's clear. This way. Stay close.
They get out and follow her with their javelins held at the ready.
Yeah, I've been meaning to ask you about the booby trap you set when we met.
What about it?
I couldn't help but notice that the hybrid shark, when it was on its back, it stopped moving. Why is that?
Tonic immobility. When a shark is upside down, it cannot move. And it's about only seeing what can stop them.
And how many sharks are out there? Dozens? Hundreds?
A few dozen.
Their leader, Zarina Sela, they allow only the strongest to hatch. But even with her rules, you know, this natural, automatic parthenogenesis and asexual reproduction started to happen.
Nature finds a way.
Akula holds up a hand and they stop. She scans the terrain. Rolling hills in the distance give way to a rocky plain just ahead of them.
How do they just pick a few to survive? Do they just let the weak ones die?
All the eggs are cryogenically frozen in the hopes that they one day will have enough resources to hatch them all. The ones that are allowed to be born, the best and the strongest, are trained to protect the crater.
No wonder you weren't chosen.
Akula whirls around and scowls.
Everyone makes mistakes. Now quiet. They can hear us.
They continue forward carefully with their javelins up and ready. Lava spurts from a pool in the settlement, with sharks dancing around it. The four of them walk up to the edge of a cliff overlooking the settlement and take it in, with its rounded gray buildings and rivers of lava.
Wow. They built a whole civilization.
Impressive. They weren't so terrifying.
Would have thought sharks would have colonized the moon before humans.
Half shark, half human.
All teeth.
All violence. Don't forget that.
Enough. Akula, where do we need to go to get into the prison?
The other side of that large building. They don't have heavy patrols there. They guard the front entrance. If we go in through the back, we should have a clear shot.
Sergei tilts his head.
You heard her. Let's dance.
Just as they stand, a shark man runs in and swings at Akula. She ducks and whirls to defend herself. The shark man growls at the four of them as they surround him and point their javelins at him. He takes another swing at Akula. She dodges and slices his chest with her javelin. He staggers back and they ready their javelins. As the shark man charges, the commander slices at one of his eyes while Michael jabs at his chest. The commander succeeds in cutting off both of his eye sockets and he swings wildly. Akula leaps into the air over the shark man's head and lands behind him. As the blinded shark man swings his fists wildly, she brings her javelin to bear and stabs him in the back. She rips her javelin out of his flesh and turns to gaze down at him over her shoulder.
Follow me, and don't get any blood on you.
They sneak down the central street of the shark town. No other shark people are about.
What are they able to accomplish in only a few decades?
Yeah, it's impressive, all right. Too bad they're all bloodthirsty killers who would rip your throat out if given the chance.
Of course. Just makes me wish we had the chance to actually do the mission we came here to do.
Well, if they could, we sure can.
The shark hybrids have only expansion and aggression in their mind. And never leaves their guards down. Stay alert.
Michael raises his eyebrows as they stride through the town's empty streets. On the moon's surface, Ellie and Owen leave the ship in their spacesuits and search the surrounding area. Owen frowns as he walks.
I don't like this. Something feels wrong.
We have to try. These footprints are the only signs of them.
Nicole would do the same for us.
I guess. It's just spooky out here. On the far side.
Ellie spots a severed hand in a green sleeve.
What's that?
What?
It looks like a piece of fabric, maybe from one of the spacesuits.
They share a frown and slowly approach the hand. They see the hand has black skin and wears a shiny wristwatch.
Oh my god. Leo.
Ellie looks all around.
And where's Nicole? Michael, Henry.
Come in, Commander. Michael, Henry, anybody, we have a casualty.
A shadowy shark-shaped figure speeds past them, raising moon dust in its wake.
Back to the ship. Now!
They run away.
What do you think, God, Liam? There's nothing living on the moon.
The shark tackles him.
Owen, you cut out for a second.
She turns around.
Owen? Owen!
She spies a huge shark man with a horn on his forehead, carrying a spear.
Oh my god.
He flexes and roars. She runs slowly in the moon's low gravity. The shark man spots her. She ducks and picks up a moon rock. The shark man poses, primed to pursue her. She chucks the rock at him and it smacks his head. He spasms and she turns to run away. He gives chase, jogging easily in the low gravity, and leaps onto her back. He rips into her with his sharp teeth. In the ship, which sits with its bay still open, Josie and Tom work in the algae lab.
All right, if I take our location in conjunction with the moon's rotation... There, we have our way home.
But what?
We have to get this bucket of bolts off the ground and headed back to Earth in less than 6 hours. If we don't, it's another 4 weeks till the next window.
See if you can get in touch with Nicole. Maybe she's with Ellie by now.
Commander Tress, this is Tom. Come in, Commander. You and the crew need to get back to the ship ASAP. We only have a 6-hour window to get home. Commander Tress, come in. Nicole, Ellie, is anybody out there?
The shark man ducks behind a rock formation and spies their ship. In the settlement, the group of four nears an archway.
If we get attacked, remember one rule. If we draw blood, we draw attention.
But we've been cutting sharks all day.
Exactly, out there where there is no atmosphere, but here they can smell anything. Or that love smell of blood.
Michael's eyes widen and he looks all around. They sneak through the archway into a long cavern lit with green light.
God, it's hot in here.
It's safe to take it off.
She takes off the suit's cap.
They hold prisoners at the back end of this building. We have to be careful not to alert any patrols.
Akula holds up a hand. Ahead of them, shark people crisscross the tunnels.
Should we take them down?
We have to avoid any conflicts. We are on hybrid's territory now.
Akula motions the group forward.
Looks like the hallway splits up ahead. We'll take the left, you guys go right.
They continue down the long green-lit tunnel until they reach the branch, then split up.
Move out.
Akula and the commander to left, and Sergei and Michael go right. We follow Akula and the commander.
Sooner we can get Henry back to our ship, sooner we can get out of here for good.
A shark man jogs down the tunnel towards them and they back up and raise their javelins.
What do I do?
We only have one shot at this. Follow my lead and take the low road.
What?
Trust me!
The commander ducks as the shark man draws near. Akula kicks him in the gut and he doubles over. She kicks him down and they both step on him and point their javelins at his neck.
Stop!
Do you want to keep him alive?
He draw blood, he draw attention, remember?
Sergei steps forward and leans down. Subtitles, where are you holding your prisoner? Don't make me regret sparing you. The shark man bites his own lip and blood flows.
He drew blood to alert the guards.
I knew we should have killed him.
You have to get out of here. Go! Go, go, go!
Go, 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 go!
Akula lifts her javelin high.
Can't risk it.
She stabs him in the chest.
We found Henry!
They enter his cell and spot his severed leg.
Henry. Oh my god.
I'm sorry, I tried my best, but I just... The ship! It's not safe!
What are you talking about?
The sharks! They're gonna use the ship to get back to Earth! They have an army of eggs that they're gonna hatch there!
Sergei covers his face.
Earth has all the resources they need to become the dominant species.
Why wouldn't they just use your ship?
Well, my ship is barely big enough just for Akula and myself. We don't have enough fuel to reach Earth, and we operate over the Cold War time technology. So there is no way to plot a course. What about your ship?
We have to get back. Now. Michael, help Henry up.
All right, let's get out of here.
They hurry back into the tunnel.
Come on, this way!
She jogs around a bend. Sergei and Michael help Henry.
Hurry!
Akula brings up the rear. She turns to check behind her. The hall is empty. In another tunnel, multiple shark people run down its length.
Quick, in here. They're running the other way.
They enter a creche, with baby shark people wiggling in transparent eggs on a shelf.
What are these?
They turn to see further shelves lined with glass tubes containing baby shark people.
Guys?
These are hybrid shark eggs. This must be their incubation chamber.
There are so many. Earth would never stand a chance.
We should destroy them now.
No! Those are innocent children. They haven't done anything wrong.
Children? Those are monsters, killing machines.
From what I heard about humans, they're not better. Should we kill all the humans, too?
If we stop them now, we can prevent an invasion from ever happening. Those things have millions of soldiers stockpiled ready to attack at any minute. We destroy them now, it'll take them decades to recover, if they ever do.
Akula glares coldly at Michael. The babies writhe in their eggs and tubes.
They're sounding an alarm!
We've lingered here too long. You have to get out of here, now! Go, hurry!
As they leave, Akula looks back at the eggs and tilts her head.
Move slowly and quietly. The sharks know we're here now.
The commander leads the group away. Akula remains behind and blocks the path of the Tsarina.
Привет, Tsarina.
Magnificent. Just like you and me, sister.
No. Don't group me in with your kind, Sela. From the moment I was born, it was made very clear to me that I'm not one of you.
The Tsarina gazes down at Akula. In the hallway, the commander glances back and frowns.
Where is Akula?
Akula. Oh.
What?
They abandoned me, and you did nothing.
I spared your life. They wanted to kill you, but I wouldn't let them. I knew the human would take you in. Weak, predictable humans.
My human has shown me more kindness from the very beginning than any hybrid ever has.
Think, Akula. You are the link between human and shark. I knew it then, and I know it now. We need you.
That changes nothing. I know all about your plans.
We are returning home, to where we belong.
Not if you're going to kill all of humanity. I won't let you.
You can watch from here. Or you... we could finally go home.
Akula hesitates, and the Tsarina paces away. Subtitles, pity. Release the big one. Can't have them getting in our way any longer. The group returns.
Don't scare me like that again.
Where have you been?
I heard something.
Could we steal one of the shark's rovers outside the building?
Yes, we have to get out of here.
Perfect, Henry?
All good, Commander.
They turn, only to see a huge, towering shark man charging towards them.
We don't have time for this.
Michael throws a grenade.
Michael!
It's either us or them.
Get out! Get out!
They hurry out of the crash. Back on the ship, Josie and Tom walk down the hallways together.
Commander! Commander Tress, can you hear me?
It's no use, Tom. We need to keep working until someone gets back.
I hate feeling so helpless.
Me too. But we have our plants, Liam's experiments, and our backup oxygen reserves. We could survive for months if we need to.
Yeah. You're right. Well, let's just... What was that?
They stagger as the ship shudders.
The habitation chamber! Hurry!
Go, go, go.
They run down a corridor and pause to stare at a closed hatch as it slowly inches open. They duck into another room and close the hatch.
Those look like shark teeth!
Sharks from the moon, that's what that was, yeah?
Whatever it is, we cannot let it destroy the life support systems. We'll never make it back if they do.
They race to put on spacesuits, but a shark man forces open their door. They grab a pole and a wrench and hold them up in defense. The rescue team hurries away from the settlement.
Which way to the rovers?
Akula points her javelin.
Those were children. Babies.
I did what I had to survive. I saved our asses. It's not like I killed all of them, just a drop in the bucket.
Enough! We have to move. They'll be on us any second.
Akula glowers at Michael.
We have to stick together or we'll die alone. Got it?
Michael nods.
Akula, leads the way.
She heads across the terrain and they follow in slow jumps in the low gravity. They get to the rover, carrying Henry.
Get in!
As they set Henry down, a massive whale shark creature crashes through a hillside and charges at them on four flipper legs. They speed away in the rover, but the creature gains on them. Sergei turns the rover hard to the right. Moon dust flies up in their wake. The whale shark creature still pursues.
He's still there.
They came out.
Pleasure.
Akula stands and grabs her javelin. She turns and throws the javelin into one of its eyes and it turns away.
Nice shot.
It will be back. It wasn't a kill shot. But it bought us precious time. All we need just keep moving. That's an infrared communication device, same we've got in our suits.
Ellie, Tom, Josie, Owen, can anybody hear me? This is Commander Nicole Tress. If anyone can hear me, we got aggressive company coming in hot. Do what you can to arm the ship. You must keep it safe. I repeat, protect the ship at all costs. All right, everyone, keep an eye out. We don't want any more surprises, got it?
They drive quickly over the bumpy terrain. The rover pulls up in front of the ship's open bay.
Everyone inside, hurry.
Michael notices one bay door hanging off its hinge.
We're too late.
Come on, we gotta help them.
How many were inside?
4.
Nicole strides forward. Sergei and Akula follow with their javelins held at the ready. Michael helps Henry hop along on his remaining leg. Inside, Nicole scans the control room. All the panels are intact.
Where is everyone?
No bodies, no blood.
We need to go room to room and see if we can find any few people. Akula, stay by me.
They head out of the cockpit. In the algae lab, they find a shark man lying on his back, bloodied from gashes all over his body. The room shows signs of a desperate struggle.
What happened here?
Nicole! You're back!
Where's everyone else?
They're not with you? They went looking for you hours ago. We've had no word.
Nicole shakes her head.
Liam as well.
Josie and Tom hang their heads sorrowfully.
We think there's some sharks still out there, just not sure where.
They are sharks, right?
Yes, and that's why we need to make sure we have everything armed against them.
Hold on, wait. Who are they? What are you wearing? And why doesn't she have oxygen?
Nicole shakes her head.
We'll explain everything later. That's Sergei, that's Akula, and the only thing you need to know right now is we need to get back to Earth now, with these two as part of the crew.
Good. Apply this the course home. But we only have 4 hours and 15-minute window.
If we repair breaches in the hull, we can use some of our spare oxygen tanks as well as the algae-based biofuel I've been working on to jumpstart the ship.
Great. The sooner we get off this rock, the better. Henry, do you think you can help Tom?
He hops in.
Oh my god! Henry, what happened?
That's how they were able to find the ship. They tortured me.
What? You did what?
Stop! Josie, you tell Sergei what else you need. Akula? You come with us to the command module to help Tom and Henry.
First, we need to repair the entrance.
And I will not let Akula to be out of my sight again.
If Nicole needs my help to get off the moon, then you need to let me come with her.
Sergei shakes his head. They all jolt as the ship rocks. Outside, shark people attack the hatch doors.
They're back!
Tom grabs a tablet and they check the feed.
How many are there?
10, 20, a lot.
There are too many of them. And this, just a stupid baby.
There is no way we can kill them fast enough with our harpoons.
We need a new plan.
Henry leans on his staff and looks around. He spots a welding torch and picks it up.
I got this.
Henry, no!
That's too dangerous!
You have plenty of capable people here that can repair the ship. Josie and Tom figured out a way home. Akula and Sergei have been stuck here for 40 years, and all I did was give up the location. Now I'm gonna fix it.
What is he doing?
Saving your asses. And no one's gonna stop me. My mind's already made up.
Wait! I'm the commander. I should be doing this.
That's exactly what you need to do, Commander. Command.
No. Let him go. He's the reason why we're in this mess.
Michael steps up to Henry.
You can barely stand on one foot.
The sharks are gonna find us no matter what.
No. They're right. I'll draw them away from the ship, and then I'll take care of them. Hopefully I'll be able to give them the slip, and then together, we can get home.
Tom rolls his eyes and looks away. Nicole pulls Henry into a hug.
If we return, I will make sure you receive the highest possible commendations.
When we get home, Commander.
Henry glances at the others. Tom stares coldly while Josie nods with tears in her eyes. Michael sucks in his lips and looks away. Akula and Sergei watch with compassionate frowns. Henry nods, then limps away. Nicole pulls herself together.
All right, everyone. Take cover.
They hide behind tables and along the sides of the room. Henry hops towards a hatch and opens it. Hopping on one foot, he puts the welding torch between his legs like a broomstick and turns it on. It shoots him out over the moon's surface. The shark people outside give chase. One of them catches him and throws him to the ground. Another one runs and leaps at him, jaw gaping wide. Henry holds up the tank of the welding torch and the shark man bites down on it. The tank explodes, vaporizing Henry and the shark people. Inside the ship, the others feel the blast as the ship rocks. They come out of hiding and view a bloody stain on the surface on the surveillance tablet.
All clear. Henry's sacrifice won't be forgotten. All right, team, we have work to do. Tom?
Yeah.
Seal off this section. Plot us a course home.
I'll take care of the bridge. Akula.
Akula somberly follows Sergei.
Roger that, Commander. Follow me.
They file out of the lab. Michael watches them all go, then walks over to the Sharkman's corpse and kicks it in the head. Then he also leaves, his shoulders slumped. The crew sit in the cockpit as Tom works at the panels.
Adjusting for our new weight, using the moon's gravitational pull to our advantage, I think we can pull this off. Our flight path is clear, but...
But what?
We have less time than I thought.
How much time are we talking?
24 minutes and 37 seconds.
You said we had 4 hours!
I forgot to adjust the amount of force required to get us to the speed to successfully fling us to the near side. Our initial launch didn't account for us being on the far side.
Nicole frowns. They turn as Sergei enters the cockpit.
I just fixed the whole bridge. Let's everyone be ready, so we can hit that window.
Let's move. More sharks will be showing up any second.
Akula turns and then hesitates.
Oh, no.
What is it?
They're here.
On a surveillance feed, they see half a dozen rovers with shark people parked outside the bay.
They're loading up the eggs.
The Tsarina and Scar oversee the work.
They're boarding the ship.
They watch the surveillance videos with deep frowns.
Who is that?
One feed focuses on the Tsarina.
That's Tsarina Sela. She's their leader.
She points towards the ship, and shark people jog towards the bay with fists raised high.
We still need to seal the interior hull before we can take off.
You're not wearing protective suits. They can detect your electromagnetic signature. Stay near the electronics. They'll go after you first.
I need to download the flight plan onto my drive. We can't let them have it. We have to hold on to them.
The ship rocks.
We can't risk it. We need everyone alive. Find a place to hide and attack only when necessary.
They lurch as the ship rocks again.
Everyone hide, now!
They file out of the cockpit and disperse to hide. Outside, many shark people mill about the open bay doors. Inside, Josie sprints down corridors. She runs into a lab with tables and microscopes and turns to face the doorway. She looks rapidly around the room, then boots up a laptop and microscope. She whirls to another table and boots up more laptops. She surveys the room with hands on her hips as a shark man saunters inside. She ducks under the table and covers her mouth. The shark man looks around slowly. Josie turns to look behind her as the shark man's feet walk around the table. She crawls forward towards the edge of the table nearest the open doorway. Her back bumps the table and a canister falls off. She grimaces and makes a break for the doorway. The shark man looks under the table and Josie is pulled backwards into the room on her stomach. Tom runs into another room.
Come on. Got it.
He runs into a shark man in the corridor.
Oh, shit.
The shark man hits him over the head and he drops. Michael peeks around a corner, his javelin held ready.
Tom.
He finds a pool of blood. A shark man leaps in front of him.
Ha!
He points his javelin.
You're a freak of nature, you know that?
The shark man swipes at him and knocks the javelin aside easily. Michael spits at him.
Do your worst.
The shark man wipes away the spittle, and Nicole and Akula run up.
Stop!
Nicole walks forward, hands up.
We surrender.
She sets down her javelin. Akula follows suit and holds up her hands. The shark people march Nicole, Michael, Akula, and Sergei down the ship's corridor with their hands tied behind their backs. Nicole glances at Michael, who averts his eyes. Akula and Sergei stare forward. They reach the end of the corridor and turn around. The Tsarina stands among guards in the corridor behind them.
Akula's sister. You should have taken me up on my offer. After all, none of this could have happened without your help.
What offer? What help?
How do you think we learned how to fly a ship? When you were out hunting us, we sent some hybrids to break into your ship and learn everything they could.
I didn't know, Papa. I had no idea.
Don't be modest. Now you have a chance to live among your real family and be a leader of our people on Earth.
Sergei turns to Akula.
Is it true?
She offered it, yes, but I never considered it, not for a moment. Sharks are not my family. They left me for dead. You are my family.
Exactly why we abandoned you near his ship to begin with. Our plan was executed perfectly. All thanks to you.
I swear I didn't know, Papa. You believe me, right?
He cradles her head.
I trust you. She's my daughter. I trust you with my life.
The Tsarina stares at them.
Sayla!
Nicole steps forward.
It's not too late. You could continue your good work here. We can go back to Earth and return with supplies. You could grow and thrive. Just let us go. Humans made you. We can help you.
I'd rather take Earth for my own. We are leaving. Now.
She heads back into the ship. The bay ramp closes and the Tsarina sits in a pilot chair in the cockpit. She types in controls and pushes buttons. The rockets begin to burn. Nicole paces back and forth.
We need to get off the ship.
Michael holds up a placating hand.
Guards don't speak English.
I don't think we can trust her anymore.
What more does she have to do? She saved your ass more times today than I can count. She's proven herself to be worth not only our trust, but our respect. I believe you.
Thank you.
I believe you too.
Michael raises his eyebrows and looks around, then winces and shakes his head.
I suppose. If you're in here with us, you're one of us.
So we're good.
Sure.
Okay, maybe there's a way out of here. If we can get out, maybe there's something on your ship.
No, sir.
Scar lumbers forward, the cauterizing iron held up in one hand.
Oh my god, they're gonna torture us.
Not without the fight, they aren't.
You're right.
Sergei and Akula step to the front and raise their fists. A javelin suddenly bursts through Scar's chest.
Gotcha.
Another guard leaps on Henry and rips at him with his teeth. Nicole grabs a javelin and attacks the guard, slicing him across the gut. They find Tom's hand on the floor, the USB in its grip.
Tom's USB.
Michael holds his stomach and turns away. Nicole crouches down and picks up the USB. She grins.
The flight plans! If we can get this back to your ship, Sergei, we can use this to get back! Warn Earth that the sharks aren't to be trusted! We can fight!
The ship begins to lift off, hovering just above the moon's surface. Nicole points to a hatch.
There!
They jog over and twist a lever.
Depressurizing.
The hatch slides open and Nicole looks around.
They'll be here any second. Hurry!
It looks to be about 50 feet down.
It's only gonna get further, and gravity's gonna slow you down. Now go! One at a time to be safe.
Michael jumps out and floats lightly to the ground.
Come on, hurry!
I'll go first so I can catch you when you land.
I'm not a kid anymore.
I will not let you to be hurt. Wait for my command.
Sergei jumps out and lands lightly next to Michael. He crouches to one knee and looks back up at the ship.
Akula!
John!
Warning, hatch breach in Module 4. Warning, hatch breach in Module 4.
You next.
No, you!
Stop! Change of plans.
She pushes Nicole out and holds up her javelin to the Tsarina. Nicole lands on Sergei and pats his shoulder.
Where is Akula?
Are you alright, boss?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Subtitles, Scar, where are you?
I wish I could take credit.
Scar!
But it was a human that killed your precious bodyguard.
The Tsarina sprints at Akula, who knocks her out of the hatch with her javelin, then jumps after her.
It's Akula! And something else.
Akula lands lightly and the Tsarina crashes on her stomach.
Akula!
Is that the Tsarina?
It was. Pretty sure she got some brain damage, or worse.
Guys?
Michael points up at shark people lining the ridge above them. Nicole's jaw drops.
My ship is not far away. Run!
They turn and run, slowly in the low gravity. Behind them, the Tsarina twitches on the ground.
Over here! I set a perimeter of booby traps that will help slow them down.
They follow Sergei through the perimeter. A landmine takes out one of the shark men. They follow Sergei and take cover behind large boulders, looking back towards the booby-trapped perimeter.
There is a way we can destroy the rest of the sharks. And maybe, if we are lucky, we can destroy their ship before it gets too far.
That was it!
What is it?
The nitrogen-enriched soil I use to grow crops can be used to make an explosion.
I can't believe that I didn't think of this sooner.
There is no bomb that you can make that will reach the sharks.
Yes, but I can make the ones that would aggravate the magma under the moon's surface.
I can fly my rocket straight into the crater. That's the only way.
But you'll die.
Sergei grimaces and nods.
Anything will be wiped out of the surface within 50 miles.
Including us. The geothermal disturbance will create tidal waves of lava that will spread easily over 50 miles.
Sergei glances at the shark people.
Looks like they're flanking us. We have to move. Run.
They head to Sergei's shuttle. They lurch inside the dim, misty shuttle interior and Sergei latches the door behind them.
That's not going to hold long.
She doesn't have much, but control's still working. Engine runs. And we just have enough fuel for one shot. I can do it all by myself, but I need you buy me some time.
There has to be a better way.
We don't have time. So what are you here?
Sergei, no. I'll stay with you.
Akula. My sweet daughter, my dearest daughter, I finally ready to do something by myself. I need you to go with Nicole and Michael and keep the hybrids off my back so we can destroy them. You are the best fighter I know. You can do it.
She breaks into tears and they hug tightly. Sergei hands her a red disc.
Where's me at the subway? Keep it with you. I was save it for the long time while we land in the sea. Keep it on you. When you land, it will do the job. Trust me, it will do the job.
He takes her shoulders and pulls her into another hug, kissing her head.
Now go. Please keep them off my back so we can break theirs. Go!
He heads to the cockpit. Nicole holds up her javelin and turns to the other two.
You ready?
Ready. Who could be?
Well, too bad.
She opens the hatch and leaps out, javelin at the ready. Akula follows her. Outside, they spar with a shark man. He swipes at Nicole and she jabs at him with her javelin. Slashes his chest and he roars. Michael waves his javelin unsteadily at another shark man, who swats at him. Akula swings her javelin at another shark man. Inside the cockpit, Sergei puts on a record in the seat beside him with a soft smile. He takes a deep breath.
Okay, lady. Show me what you've got.
Subtitles, launch sequence initiated. 10. Akula fights skillfully. Nicole stabs at a shark man, and Michael waves his javelin in a panic. Akula continues to attack. Tay Sharkman swipes at her. Michael ducks as a sharkman swats at him. Subtitles, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, life off. The shuttle shakes and lurches forward. Sergei grimaces against the thrust as he is pushed back in his seat. Akula slashes the shark man she is fighting and he roars. Behind him, the Tsarina strides up, with the whale shark creature behind her. In the distance, lava explodes from a magma pool into the sky. Nicole and Michael stop fighting as they watch the Tsarina grab a shark man and toss him into the whale shark's jaws. The shark people fighting them continue to swing their fists, and they resume the fight, as the Tsarina continues to grab shark men and lob them into the whale shark creature's mouth, where it chomps them down. Sergei's shuttle speeds towards the settlement.
The Rodino. The Rodino.
He crashes into the settlement and a massive magma explosion erupts high into the sky. Akula turns to watch with a fierce expression. The American ship flies into one of the spewing towers of magma. A shark man in the cockpit looks around at the panels, then lurches to the side as one of the ship's rockets catches fire. The ship crashes into the magma and explodes. Akula watches with satisfaction. Tsarina continues to throw shark people into the maw of the whale shark creature. Then she looks to the side as a wave of lava engulfs shark people, charring them instantly. The settlement lies in ruins, overflowing with lava. Another massive eruption takes place, lifting the whale shark creature into the air on a plume of magma. Its charred corpse flies out into space. An image of the moon viewed from space becomes the Earth viewed from space. The whale shark creature's corpse hits the atmosphere and catches fire as it shoots down to the surface. It crashes in the ocean, leaving a trail of dark smoke behind. From within the ocean, an inflatable raft rises to the surface where the corpse fell. Michael, Nicole, and Akula cling to it and climb inside.
On Earth.
Exactly. Earth!
Akula looks around with a grin.
We're here! I can't believe we're here! Papa will drive her home! Thanks to Papa!
We'll make sure his sacrifice is not forgotten.
Papa described the Earth to me and he was right. He said it would eclipse all of my wildest imagination. Oh, it's beautiful, Papa!
It really is.
I'm never going to take it for granted again.
You need to figure out how to get back. Maybe wait till dark, plot a detailed course with the stars.
Oh, it hurts. Oh, it really hurts.
Akula, where does it hurt?
Come on, wave.
Well, I just breathe. Deep breaths. Akula, did you maybe have any sort of relationship with any of the shark hybrids?
What? No!
Akula convulses and Nicole frowns.
Akula, I think you're pregnant.
What?
How is it possible?
Automatic parthenogenesis? Sergei mentioned it happening to the other sharks.
Michael grimaces as he watches.
Akula, push!
A tiny shark baby shoots onto the floor of the raft in a spurt of blood between Akula's legs.
It's adorable.
Oh, great. Now we have another mouth to feed.
It launches at Michael and bites his finger.
That's the son of a bitch! These teeth are sharp!
Nicole, I've got to take care of my babies!
She rolls into the ocean. Nicole and Michael look around as shark babies surround them. The shark babies continue to appear.
We're so fucked.
Credits: Unit Production Manager, Michelle B. McGraw. First Assistant Director, James Mahoney. Second Assistant Director, Michelle B. McGraw. Gaffer, Keaton James Bain. Key Grip, Tony Sue. Swing, Maddie Baker. First Assistant Camera, Lance Canelau. Second Assistant Camera, Sean Wynn. Digital Imaging Technician, Christopher M. Kaiser. Sound Mixer, Jamie Fish, Jason Aaron Moran, and Jamar Brown. Background Casting Director, Natalia Rahmanan. Art Director, Maurice Charles, YASKY. Art Production Assistant, Yelena SAVRANSKAYA. Makeup Artist, Kate Oya and Kristen Moody. Costume Supervisor, Orchid SATALLITE. Set Costumer, Sailor D. Gonzalez. Still Photographer, Kim Preston. Catering, B&G Thai and Chef Groupzee. Key Production Assistant, Nicola Varoli. Production Assistants Irene Puente Andues, Brandon Wilson, and Oleg Korov. Cast, Commander Nicole Tress, Maxi Witrak. Sergey, Ego Mikitas. Akula, Tanya Fox. Michael Kelly, Michael Marcel. Alexei, Sandy Todorovich. Henri, Constantine Podprugin. Pilot Ellie Waters, Lindsay Marie Wilson. Josie, Lydia Hunter. Liam, Terrence Livingston, Jr., Owen Watson, Michael Denny. Tom, Seginal Stalling. Young Sergey, Roman Chsherbakov. Mission Control Worker No. 1, Tammy Klein. Mission Control Worker No. 2, Mahpara Khan. Serena, Natasha Goubskaya. Scar, AIUSSR, Yelena Savranskaya. Engineer Sasha Gilmore, Tammy Klein. Stunt Coordinator, Jeffrey Constein and Sean Egli. Set Medic, Robin Jeter. Post-Production Supervisor, Mark Quad. Post-Production Director, Mario N. Bonison. Music Supervisor, Mikkel Shane Prather. Credits continue. Special thanks to March Joint Powers Authority, March Field Air Museum, Plains of Fame Air Museum. Logos, DC Creative, Burbank, CA. Red Digital Cinema, shot on red. Text, 2022 Acme Holding Company, LLC, is the author of this motion picture for the purposes of copyright and other law. The events are fictitious. No animals were harmed in the production of this screenplay. www.theasylum.cc. Follow us at twitter.com/theasylum, facebook.com/asylumfilms, youtube.com/user/asylum international, Shark Side of the Moon.